For September the 15th, 2017, we talk about Destiny 2, PewDiePie's latest controversy, and we ask you what your Pokemon-style evolution would be. Welcome to Level 212. My name is Cole Ross.
My name is Dennis Furia.
My name is David Meismith.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. This is a podcast for people who love video games. Welcome one and all for 212, level 212. It's a palindrome.
Welcome to the palindrome.
Yep. Four men enter. All of us are going to leave probably in about 2 hours. Yeah, this is like that. We're in this weird spot across the network where, we have a lot of shows that are roughly in the same neighborhood, for what's being released. So those damn Ross kids, Abject Suffering. Is Abject Suffering around here? I've forgotten all this. But we're all at, roughly in the two teens. Also, Monster Met Podcast. We have four shows that are right here, and it's really freaking me out.
Like the stars aligning.
Right.
Everybody needs to hit 269 at the same time because it's the sex number.
Hey, nice.
Also, I think the optimal rating level for the first raid in Destiny 2, so just have a duck feet.
Well, wait a minute. I think that you're previewing what you're going to be talking about for the next 7 months.
I'm not close to rating yet.
Yeah. but your computer's fixed.
That is probably the first order of business. I am talking to you on my PC and not my work computer, so that is fantastic.
Good.
Took it to Micro Center, paid the $40 to get it completely checked out. Turned out that it was the RAM was not connected right.
Yeah, for people who didn't tune in last week, your child, your eldest,
Youngest
ran into it, knocked it over. You were afraid that this busted some expensive component, and the graphics card seemed to be the likeliest culprit. You took that out, reseated it, but it didn't work. The system would not post, and therefore you sent it to an expert who reseated your RAM.
You're probably muttering "dumbass" as he. But it's one of those like going to a car dealership. Like, I'm gonna turn the key. I'm going to maybe check the gas, and then I'm going to go, well, I'm out.
Hey, is there dust on the plug?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, my last job, I worked with a guy that, like, literally, he, like, when he was in college, like, decided to buy a semi-truck and start a trucking company. Like, not driving a truck, like, instead of college, like, bought a semi, hired a guy to drive it for him. and like similarly, like while I was working there, like he was cleaning his car and decided like, oh well, yeah, I can take this panel off and clean it a little bit better. He showed me a picture, and by the time he was done, he had accidentally like stripped down and reassembled the entire car
in a different room.
Yeah. so this guy was like, anytime I had card problem, he's like, what, you're going to take it to the mechanics? That's a ripoff.
Yeah. I have people deliver my groceries. Like,
see,
I have
this,
no concept.
This guy also...
You guys are both doing things. It's all right.
this guy also was, like, a, former paratrooper that had, like, seen active duty in Afghanistan. So it's like, no matter what, like, nothing I do, like...
Yeah, you're not gonna
pilot land the plane. That's a ripoff. Just land yourself.
What? you haven't mastered unaided human flight to get where you need to go. Jeez, what a cock. Yeah, I decided to stop saying that word. Fuck.
I don't know. I think this context is actually pretty funny.
Well, congratulations, Dennis. I'm happy that you didn't have to replace a video card because those things are expensive, especially if you want to run Destiny 2.
Well, I'm running Destiny 2 on the PS4. That's been safe the whole time.
Speaking of Destiny, no.
Oh yeah. Any other banter stuff this week? Here's my excitement. I have an internet mattress. There we go. That is my excitement.
So you can sleep on the internet?
Right. Yes. I generally sleep on the internet because I've got a phone in the bedroom, which is inadvisable. I'm not going to say the brand of it, but it is one of those ones that ships to you in a box.
Okay.
Yeah. It's nice. It's better than my
talk post show.
Yeah, we'll talk post show. Post show. Yeah. But that is my excitement. Anybody else?
I'm eating a quesadilla. Does that count?
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can only assume, you know, it was named after some sort of, you know, armadillo that only eats cheese.
Yeah. There's leprosy. Yeah.
The old quesadilla.
And gout.
All of it.
Armadillo is just getting worse off as we go along.
Poor guy. Well, it sounds like we've achieved some level of banter. And it also sounds like we're really desperate to talk about Destiny 2. So we should probably get rolling.
It's in our even tangentially related to video games contract that we must cover Destiny 2.
I suppose, yeah, yeah. I was at a store today, and there was a standee for it, and I realized that there's a symbol at the end of the word Destiny that looks a little like a fidget spinner, and I'm not sure if that's a meme yet, and if this is already very kind of played out.
I have not seen that once. We need to get on that. It's time to make our internet millions. Go, go, go.
Yeah, because that, although how has that not happened before? Because, like, that's been, like, one of the main, like, icon things they use for Destiny since the beginning. Huh. And it never occurred to me that, yeah, now that you mention it, it looks exactly like a fidget spinner.
Huh. Yeah. Well, you know,
I do think it's funny, like, one of the, I'm sorry, I'm really, okay, it is semi-relevant here. I do think it's funny, one of the, like, early cutscenes, I feel like the cutscene goes through, like, five iterations of, like, what are we going to have be like the symbol / box art for this game?
Okay.
Because like there's the like, you know, the traveler, basically the giant moon thing. And then there's like the like spider looking thing is like, you know, hexagon thing or whatever is like perfectly overlaid on it. And then like a couple seconds later, like, you know, some bird thing fly. It's like 10 iterations of like, yes, this is clearly someone set this up so it could be box art.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen it, but I would believe it because everything about that franchise and series is a fucking mess.
Shots fired.
It wasn't so damn fun to play.
Okay. I mean, I will grant you that it's fun to play. I just, I have no idea what the iconography, what any of the names are. It does not read as scrutable from the outside.
And to be fair, or at least on the poster that I'm seeing, the fidget spinner is after the Y. Like it's Destiny.
It's not replacing the. Yeah, it's not replacing it. Okay.
Or maybe they just wanted two Ys and that would be like the two, but they already have a two. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not even sure like why that's there. Cause that's basically just kind of their like generic, like you can do stuff icon or like things are loading or.
Fans need something to get a tattoo of.
Oh, it's a tattoo seed. Yeah. We got the usual kind of show for you. The brief, the multiplayer and the grind. And let's get started with
the brief,
where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us. Let's see. Oh, we have a handful of things. Ben, I'm kind of excited about this because that game company is making a new thing.
So that game company that's called that game company, their next game, they're sticking with the one word titles. It's called Sky. I have to think if it's alphabetical. Yeah, it is alphabetical order still, so they're still keeping to that. They released like a trailer for it, like a demo trailer. It features, well, I don't know how much of it's gameplay and how much of it's doctored, but it's basically people jumping into the sky and kind of floating down through clouds.
I thought you were about to interrupt yourself and say, well, I don't want to spoil the trailer.
I totally thought so too.
So sorry. I'm spoiling it. Yeah, I don't know. The one thing that I was surprised by at like first blush with this is I thought that it looked very similar to Journey, like, because so far they've done a really good job of, like, every game is very, very unique from the previous one. Mm-hmm. I mean, this one still might be that, because I'm judging it based off a 30-second trailer, so, you know, who knows. But the character animation, I mean, you're a non-abstract character this time. You're, like, an actual, like, kid or person, little guy. But it's, like, similar where you have a cape and you're jumping in the air, like, similar to the movement that you had in Journey.
So you're basically someone who's wearing a Journey dude.
They stole his cloak at some point in the game.
Oh, they skinned him.
Well, he maybe got a lot of cloak.
You're running towards a mountain with a light behind it. Like,
yeah. Yeah, and there's like a cloud formation that kind of peels up into the sky. The game creator said that there's like an extended interview where he talks about some of the game, but the one part that he said about the game is that they said that it was going to be a game about giving. So it's going to still feature multiplayer. It'll have play up to like 8 players. And so similar to like some of the mechanics that they started in Journey, where you're kind of playing with other people, but you can't really yell at them or call them names. I think they're going to be extending that probably to try and make it like friendly interactions that you have with people.
Yeah.
The other thing that's interesting about this, too, is that they're going to be releasing it on Apple for the first iteration. So it's going to be on all Apple devices, so Apple TV, iPad, and iPhone. They haven't announced any other devices yet that it'll be on.
Yeah, this was announced at the iPhone reveal event today. An event that I didn't watch, but I will probably watch in the background at work tomorrow.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Font for Sky looks pretty cool. I guess I'll say that. I don't know.
I mean, so it's not just like one dude who is in the demo here. It's 4 of them. So yeah. it's interesting that they are leading again with the multiplayer, the multiplayer angle on this.
Yeah, and I think one of the teaser videos that I saw of it in the interview is like it showed like a scene where there's like candles that need to be lit, and one person's like lighting them while 2 other people do other things. So I don't know if there will be like specialization roles or not, but there might be some sort of thing like that where you need to like kind of cooperate to solve puzzles. So
yeah,
I don't know, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, as somebody who has an Apple TV, I'm already like pre-jazzed about this. I could imagine there are a lot of people who are kind of angry because this is the first, I mean, it's hard to say that company is like a major developer, but like they carry a lot of clout, especially after Journey. Like, this is the first major release that is actually like straight up exclusive to an Apple console, right?
Yeah,
there are plenty of iPhone exclusives, but this feels different. It feels like it's on a different level, so I could see people being salty.
Yeah, we'll see. I imagine when it's closer to the release date, they might say other things that it'll release on, maybe, but
yeah
who knows.
Yeah, and, you know, even, the Super Mario Run, that was announced at an Apple event. It was exclusive to Apple devices for a while, and then it went to Android. So, like, that's not unprecedented. Like, Apple doesn't lock you down for life.
One thing I'll be curious about with this game is, like, one of the things with Journey is even though you could kind of play multiplayer, you could also play by yourself if you wanted to. With this one, it looks like you have to play with other people. So I think there is going to be something interesting after like people play through the game for the first time and they start playing like multiple times. I wonder how that's going to bubble up in gameplay where, you know, like you have someone who's playing for the first time and then a bunch of other people who already know the exact solutions to the puzzles. Yeah. Like if that might take some of the fun out of it for other people. I don't know.
Yeah, you get stuff codified.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious. Do we know when this is going to release?
I don't remember reading that in the article, so
it's also interesting that there is something approaching like a killer app for the new 4K Apple TV, which is good.
Sure.
Good for
people
them.
With Apple TVs. Yes,
for people who are going to buy that new Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Well,
what's funny is, so I saw like the tweet or a tweet about this that just had the name Sky and the cover image. And without reading anything else, just scrolling past, I was like, that looks exactly like Flower. And then turns out it was that game company.
I'm just worried that they burned a lot of letters going from Journey to Sky. They're only left with like TUVW. Yeah.
Well, so. I mean, maybe the next one will be like a prequel.
They can back up in the alphabet.
It'll just be called Bath. It takes place in a bathtub.
Where do like the Cyrillic letters come in the order?
You would have to look at like ASCII encoding at that point, I think.
I don't think they're encoded in ASCII, actually.
That was a Hail Mary pass. Like, you know what I meant?
Yeah, no, I knew what you meant. Look at Unicode. Not until after I said it.
Right. So look at Unicode or some other way that that written characters are encoded. Yeah. Bleh. So cool. I will keep an eye on this, and I'll be interested to see how they presented that in the keynote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see. Dennis, something more about Plunkbat.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, we usually try to do research on stories to talk about for the show, like the day leading up, at least that's my general thing. And today it was just like, which Plunkbat or Destiny 2 story do I want to talk about? So,
and what you chose is to not swoop my, not to be swooping my brief, but to be swooping some of my grind.
Oh, okay. Have you actually played this mode?
I have not played it, but I was going to comment on it. The angst can wait.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very blatant ripoff.
Yeah.
Fortnite has done a battle royale mode that is 100 players jump onto a giant map. It seems like literally shot for shot identical to Plunkbat. I cannot. Like unless maybe the map is randomly generated each time, I don't know. It just seems incredibly Me Too-y.
And then we call it a fast follow.
Yeah, right. That's exactly what it is. I mean, I can't speak to how much fun it is to play. Like it's completely separate from the other game modes. So maybe this is something that you can jump into without grinding for 100 hours and be able to do what you want. So, I don't know.
A couple of things. One is it's going to be separate from the other game mode in terms of like advancement, with I think the that being part of it. It's also actually has some different mechanics. Most randomly, you can crouch to like increase accuracy and be smaller.
Yeah. Can you not do that in the main game?
No, I mean, it's not really that type of game overall. Like, it wouldn't add all that much to it. That's why I say, like, it is a very random new feature.
Yeah.
Huh.
Is Fortnite already third person? I've never actually seen footage of Fortnite in action. Yes. Okay, yes. All right. So that is not a new thing.
No.
But, like, what they're taking is, like, massive world, 100 people playing. It is a battle royale style thing, and you are dropping in on your little glider thing to kind of randomize. Which
is that in the main game? Is the glider in the main game?
The glider is not. I'm also assuming, I haven't looked, I'm assuming the building mechanic is still in there, because that
would be something that would... Yeah, you can build your own stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that would differentiate it some.
Yeah, like, that is substantial, although... From my experience with PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, you generally don't want to do a lot of stuff that's going to A, take up all of your attention, or B, draw attention by others to you.
Yes.
And that when you're building a house for yourself, that seems to do both of those things.
True.
Yes.
Although I could see on the other side of the thing, depending on how they do like destructible, you know, buildings and stuff, that could maybe be cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you build a house, but you just build it so well and so elaborately that like I can't even, I don't want to ruin this work of art, and they go somewhere else.
You build it so well that it gets made into a historical landmark. And then nobody can touch it, and you just hide inside until you win.
These match times are insane.
So that is one thing I will say it has going for it is, despite a lot of the rest of the game being kind of crap, they do have some pretty amazing art and building assets.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Other interesting stuff is as you might imagine, the community was somewhat upset that with instead of fixing like any of the significant quality of life issues or the blatantly broken progression system, they implemented a game mode that no one was asking for. And their defense was apparently this mode was actually developed completely separately by the Unreal Tournament team.
Right.
I mean, whether that's, I don't know. If that is true, that's kind of interesting.
I mean, that happens a lot, though. Like, you know, any attempt from the outside to say you should have worked on X, not Y, usually can be answered by, well, it's different teams. Like tuning.
Yeah, then the other team should have, you know, made your game not suck as much.
I don't know. So we can make fun of the developers, if we can make fun of Epic for doing this. I don't know if we should, but we can. But we knew this was going to happen, right? Like, other developers were going to look at the player unknown battleground formula and start appropriating it. Like,
unknown battleground isn't super super original. It's you know, by far the best take on its genre, but I mean, it is a genre that has, you know, existed in various forms.
Right, just it has its own thing, but like, PlayerUnknown's Battleground has the mind share at the moment. That is what people associate with this particular kind of thing. You know, everything is iterative.
Is Fortnite getting this battle royale mode akin to Call of Duty getting the RPG styled progression the first time? And I mean, just kind of sets the bar that every other game is now like, well, we got to have a 100 deathmatch mode.
Yeah, I mean, it's an arms race until people get sick and tired of it.
I know.
Have we found the new zombies?
Maybe.
Coming soon to...
No, it's just zombies is just horde mode. Yeah. You know?
Which is the other half of Fortnite.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. I don't know, like, this is how stuff gets good. Right? Like, so somebody's going to take this thing and, you know, work it in together. Yeah. I don't know.
I have to say, though, I can't imagine that Fortnite was designed with PvP in mind at all. Like, it seems like there was co-op at heart, PvE all the way. And so to suddenly be like, yeah, you're going to fight everyone else. I don't have the vocabulary to tell you how, but I have to imagine that raises a ton of design challenges and problematic just inherent systems in the game.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say because, like, mostly it's kind of just a shooter. Like, you know, the biggest thing I could see being weird is like how they handle the class system, because you know, there's two classes, you know, one class is entirely devoted to gathering resources, one entirely to building, and neither of those necessarily are good matches for this. Sure. Similarly, the melee class like revolves around like, you know, the primary ability is like press Z and you dash forward and slash everything, which seems like that really won't work because it'd basically be press Z to win, or it would be you're always going to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like, I know, just... like overall, I feel like from a strict gameplay standpoint, I'm not sure this is like that big of a jump. It's more just, I'm not sure like what would justify it, you know? Like, why you wouldn't just play Plunk Bat.
Yeah.
I feel like they should just split the difference and make, like, a single-player 1-versus-100 zombies game.
I could see, like, if they made a survival game, you know, with zombies that wasn't, you know, awful, I could see that being interesting.
Wait, why is zombies all of a sudden introduced into this?
Hmm? Oh, I'm saying, like, if instead do the basic battle royale format, but like actually have, you know, things around to like make it moment to moment dangerous.
Isn't that H1Z1?
Huh? Well,
isn't that H1Z1
or DayZ?
Good.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, those.
I mean, like, we would assume we would want them to make a good game.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the Steam kind of calls that into question.
I mean, Jesus. Yeah, I just by talking about this, like any new version of this would obviously we would want it to be a good game. So I don't know. Like I don't have anything more to say about this. Should we go into the next story?
Yeah.
David, you have a couple here, so I'll just let you pick yours. I can't segue into it.
No problem. Sorry. So I guess the original one I had was kind of depressing, so I decided to just go with something kind of fun. The team for Warframe posted on their Twitter a congratulations to Bungie on Destiny 2, and made a joke about one of the early events in the game, and basically photoshopped a number of the Destiny characters into a scene from Warframe. So I just think that's kind of funny, and it's kind of entertaining the degree to which, like, you know, this was the game that, you know, was very much, you know, super compared to Destiny, and like, you know, was kind of, often thought of the free to play Destiny, and that they've kind of just embraced that and owned it.
Mm. Did Warframe come after Destiny? My sense was Warframe had been around for a very long time, but
I'm not sure. I think they were fairly similar timeline, but they're extremely similar games in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm looking at this and I know this is the joke, but I can't tell which character is from which.
Right, yeah.
I'm not being snarky or flippant. I just no, can't.
Yeah, no.
Destiny came out a year after Warframe.
Okay.
Yeah, so
also Warframe continually evolves so much that it's impossible to say that Warframe hasn't at some point taken some kind of cue from Destiny.
Right.
Because that game is just kind of continually updated.
And it's sort of a thing where, honestly, I think there's probably a lot, a very significant degree to which they were both very similar, and then I think there was a lot of convergent evolution / borrowing from each other.
Sure.
Yeah.
So they were even more like one another?
Say that again?
So then they were even more like one another?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Although I am going to have some commentary once we get to the grind. There are some things I do feel that Warframe does much better, and some things that Destiny does really awesome. So, you know, play both.
As it should be.
A lot of Destiny opinions on this show.
I can just set the show to record and then go take care of my whiteboards and stuff if you want. Yeah, and man, my story is a spicy meatball, so I don't know how far we want to get into it, but you guys see what happened with PewDiePie over the weekend?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, we're probably going to come down in similar places on this, but fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's no reason he should be getting this many second chances.
No.
He's propped up by shitty people at this point.
Right. And so, I mean, it's impossible for you to have not known this, but if you're listening 2 weeks in the future, what he did this time, not the most recent time that he fucked up, but what he did this time when we're talking about was over the weekend, he was recently streaming a game. PlayerUnknown's Battleground. Boy, that is ubiquitous on the show now.
You just can't escape it.
Yeah. He was having trouble shooting a guy, at which point he saw fit to very casually, as though he is used to using the word quite frequently, as though it was no big deal, decided to call him a stupid fucking N-word. And this happened on a stream, and I don't know if it was archived, but people grabbed it anyway, and it got him in hot water. A lot of people were like, hey, man, that fucking sucks. Why would you do that? Mm-hmm. And Sean Vanneman, of Campo Santo, developer of Firewatch, is like, yeah, I don't want to make money off of our off of streams of our stuff. So he filed a DMCA.
Which that is the one part of this story I'm not a fan of.
So he even has come out and said that is extreme. And that is that, like, that is the one part that I can see people arguing about, because
it felt like ambulance chasing.
what do you mean by like ambulance chasing?
So this, you know, this guy lights off, does something that's very politically incorrect and very incorrect, period. Mm-hmm. But, you know, high profile person, and Firewatch, which I don't know, I guess PewDiePie did have a stream of Firewatch, but like, how much attention is that game getting from him anymore? He decides to make a big public statement.
Yeah. He had a full playthrough that had 5.7 million views. And they decided to we personally do not want to be associated with him at all, with him at all. And like, this has turned into a larger conversation about streaming kind of like rights and let's play intellectual property stuff that I honestly don't know enough about the topic to like have a real opinion, but I can, you know, I'm sympathetic to the idea that, you know, you do not want your stuff associated with somebody like them, you know.
See,
like,
I think,
so with somebody
I think
who does that.
Problem though is if people, you know, have a right to, you know, stream and stuff like that, then I don't think you can, you know, suspend that right because you don't like someone.
I don't know. I am generally kind of in favor of, you know, siding against the racist asshole, because every other time, you know, if like most other people who have done it have not had it, you know, like their streams continue to be up. Like it is literally just that one case where this is
right
happened.
And that's my point. Yeah. Is ultimately you can't play favorites. Either it is your right to do it or it doesn't. I mean, that doesn't change the fact that he appears to be an awful person, but, you know, that doesn't mean it's, you know, okay to, you know, have, you know, to punish someone in a completely unrelated way.
Yeah. The other thing that I can see of this is all of a sudden this is an option that is on the table that could actually apply this to other kinds of speech that are not as reprehensible.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is right now, I wouldn't call it a right, but it is perfectly legally within their bounds to do exactly what they did. So
yes.
they were not acting out of line. They being the Firewatch team.
Yeah,
that's ambiguous. It's if, you know, I'm not a copyright lawyer, and I don't have particularly strong feelings on this, but ultimately, if you know, if streams are protected as, you know, derivative work or whatever, then they actually didn't have the right to do this.
Monetization is something that is like kind of at the heart of this, because yes, the actual pull down of the content is, you know, is one particular thing, but like there are any number of things that will stop you from having your content monetized. Smaller indie teams, you know, they generally don't have the apparatus on their side to have, you know, hours and hours of YouTube content, you know, scrubbed in order to identify stuff to flag it as being ineligible for monetization. Okay, so they have taken one particular video down that is going to hurt PewDiePie in a place that he will actually care about, his bottom line. You can have your monetization stripped away from a video that is already up for any reason.
Loses the money that he made?
No, he will no longer be able to make money off of that incredibly old video.
That's like, where it strikes me as disingenuous.
On whose part?
Firewatch's part.
Yeah. I mean, it's a symbolic thing, you know?
It is. It felt more like a look at us thing than a... And again, this is me reading way into it. I don't like... The alternative is they leave it up. I'm completely fine with them taking it down, filing the thing. I think that's great. I'd love to see more people do that to him.
Yeah.
Again, legal stuff aside, I don't know, but in principle, yeah, fuck that guy. Fuck PewDiePie.
See, and I guess I'm not sure I'm cool with hurting people because you don't like them. Like, I can definitely see if there's a thing where, like, we were going to do a business deal and we won't, like, I'm not saying you, like, definitely if they decide we're not, you know, actively going to, you know, do something, but I'm not sure it's, you know, people's place to, you know, punish someone.
Yeah.
It's their choice to do business or to be associated with them or not. And I completely agree.
But they're
that
not
them...
associated with them.
Yeah. I would argue that they are. I'm going to take us up from the controversial part of this and get back to it. Like, back to the part where he does not need to get, like, he does not get any more benefit of the doubt. And the problem here is, and the problem with any kind of content creator, online, and I'm sorry to phrase it that way, but that is the shitty timeline that we live in, I suppose. But the problem is, you know, there are lots of people out there who like these people who make, you know, videos scream, you know, they like the people who make the screaming at video games videos more than they hate racism, or more than they hate, you know, belittling racially charged language like this. And that is a real problem when people have that kind of power and can cause, you know, that many viewers to entrench further. This isn't just about the kids. This is anybody who watches who watches him and will immediately start turning on this idea.
Who, like, looks to him as an aspirational person of any kind.
Right, right. You know, he put out a video saying, like, oh, I can't keep messing up like this, I'm an idiot, blah, blah, blah. Like, there's only, you just can't. Like, it's game over.
The problem is, you know, I think giving people, you know, second chances is important, but, you know, in this case, there doesn't appear to be, you know, he doesn't appear to actually be putting any effort into, you know, being different.
Right. He just kind of hopes he gets lucky.
Yeah. Or he's waiting until his ratings start to dip, and then he can create a new controversy.
He lost a Disney contract. Like,
yeah.
I wonder if Twitch is going to pull him, actually, because he's got that weekly deal with them. You know,
I mean, I hope so. Maybe that will be the wake up call that actually gets him to change a little bit. Yeah. I do feel like I need to finish the thought, because I was talking about, you know, I'm fine if they don't want to be associated with him. The Firewatch team doesn't want to be associated with PewDiePie. But the fact that they did it, great, do that, but then immediately took to Twitter and were like, hey, look at us doing this.
Yeah,
that's the piece that just kind of made me feel like do the right thing, great, but don't treat it like a PR stunt.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, so it seemed like it was done in a fit of pique, which, you know, is understandable, if not entirely, like, okay, you know, laudable. Right, in terms of motivation or why did you do that, like, that complicates it, etc., and down the line. And he immediately came out, like, the next day and was like, yeah, it, you know, we probably shouldn't have used a DMCA, but, like, we needed to make our point.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe they didn't.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just not particularly cool with censorship.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, yeah, good.
Yeah. It's tough because it's like, I mean, I can see your point of view, David, because it's similar to, like, free speech laws, where it's like, you know, KKK is terrible, right? But, like, you also need to defend free speech so that it can't be, like, taken away at the whim of whoever, you know? And then at the same time, it's like, on the one hand, I just want to say, let's just, like, ignore this person and, like, not give him any popularity or any spotlight and stuff like that. But you also don't want to ignore, like, somebody who's doing something racist, you know, because that's not right. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, I definitely would have no problem with, you know, anyone, you know, condemning it or, you know, putting out content that was counter to it or anything like that. I just don't think, I don't think it's all right to, you know, censor, and except in very extreme circumstances, I don't think it's all right to, you know, discriminate against someone for their views.
Yeah.
Even if they're stupid.
Yeah. And the counterpoint will be that, like, that particular attitude that PewDiePie has espoused is akin to a kind of violence, and that this is, it's also not strict. It's not censorship either. Like, this is the system. It is a bunch of different people with their own interests deciding, you know, deciding how they want their stuff represented. Like it is not a higher authority that is doing this. It is three equally powerful kind of places, and ultimately a system that is based on a certain set of rules that is also down to the line of like any kind of let's play or streaming content is allowed to happen at the will of the people whose content is being streamed.
Yeah, but I think ultimately, the internet is how people communicate. Someone not being able to, communicate on, a Twitch or YouTube or whatever is censorship.
He's got so many different ways to do that. If that's how he decides that he wants to comport himself, it is also equally the right of any of the platform holders to decide if they want that to happen where they're at.
See, I don't think so. I mean, I understand that maybe is the way it should be, but from a practical standpoint, there is no public square anymore. Communication happens through these platforms, and for a democracy to operate, people need access to that communication.
Well,
they're horrible people.
Yeah, I probably don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole, but again, you bring up a good point that it is a private platform, or it's like a business that's running this, and so it's like maybe the idea of free speech does not apply in that situation.
I think it's
uncharted waters, and we're all making it up as we go. I think. It's a sticky situation.
It's definitely a very, very problematic situation.
Yeah.
Not even without the some guy being an apparently racist asshole.
I mean, it is that kind of extreme, at the edges. Like it has to be somebody who is this popular fucking up this bad that helps define the edges of define the edges of where things break down. This section should end.
Yeah.
All right, and that's the segment.
Yeah, we got serious this week.
Multiplayer. Okay.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. Dennis, what is this? What is this? What do you do?
Yeah, this was suggested by David. So I physically wrote it up, but the idea comes from David.
Okay.
I don't know if that means we should have David read it.
Do it.
I need the terms of service permission to read his content online. No, sorry.
David, what's the question that you asked the nice people?
Multiplayer. Humans now have Pokemon style evolution, and you suddenly find yourself on a new level. What's your transformation like? You get new powers, a new name, maybe a snappy new look. Answer by 9 p.m. tonight to get on air. Oh, and grats on the ding.
a ding referring to leveling up. This is a very upsetting image that you have chosen for the post.
Beefcake
here.
Beefcake Pikachu?
This goes beyond beefcake, my friend.
Mud Pikachu?
I think all you need to Google is Pikachu evolution.
Huh.
And that comes like I was not I don't remember the exact phrase, but certainly nothing with steroids in it or beefcake or anything like that.
I
Google that on my own time.
This goes beyond swole. Like this is some like latter half of Resident Evil 5 shit going on.
Pika Bane.
And I'll get started with OMG Amoose, who says, I receive an additional larger set of antlers naturally. Maybe also some moose-mancy powers. Also, bless you, whichever saint decided to post that image with this question.
So. I've been smiling about that all day. Go to our Facebook page if you want to see that.
Or don't, and save yourself. Run, stay away.
How good are you at resisting the urge to scratch out your eyes?
Where we're going. Yeah. Dennis, what does Greg say?
Yeah, he says, I would take the ability to replace needing 8 hours of sleep each night with being able to charge up like a phone within 8 minutes. Maybe with that extra time, I can get some things done I've been wanting to do for a long time. Looks at it over at the PC with 600 untouched games on Steam. Oh, and be able to transport myself at will anywhere in the world in the blink of an eye to allow me to support friends and family when they need it.
Hmm.
Nice.
I like that.
Yeah. That eventually came down to what superpower do you want?
Yeah. It's teleport. It's canon. Yeah.
So he would want to evolve into some kind of electric type.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben, what does Ollie say?
Ollie says, when I evolve, my capacity for knowledge increases, so I can remember everything I read or hear and can repeat it on demand, making me the trivia king in the real world situation and a lore master in the fantasy world. Also, I'm taller. Because that sounds good.
I'm taller because we all want to be what we want to be.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's see. David, what does David say? I didn't do that intentionally.
David says, I evolve into Dad Champ and get an extra pair of arms so I can manage to do as many things at once as I seem to need to.
Yeah. I always thought it was a missed opportunity that Machamp, like, his multiple arms were just stacked one on top of each other. I think we need to get some kind of, like, radial arm situation going along. Yeah.
Cartwheels.
Yeah, and the body horror continues.
Yep.
I don't know if I would characterize Stuart's answer as that.
Stuart says, I look the same, but angrier. Yep.
I just imagine he's got a marker and drawn on big angry eyebrows.
Could be that, like, is how everybody evolves. Yeah.
Could be like Voltorb and just be what is it? Oh, Electro.
Explodes violently. Yeah.
Be Electro, then to be like 30% bigger than your old form. Yeah. Yeah.
He does like a 180, right?
No, that's all.
Switches colors.
I realize this is like inverse evolution, but that was bothering me the other day about, like, I was thinking back to, like, you know, all the, you know, dinosaurs and saber-tooth whatchamadingers. Like, what was it about that time period that's like, if you're a regular animal now, you were, you know, you now have saber teeth. And if you aren't a regular animal now, you're like six times the size, you know?
That's a real thing, dude. Cosmos, back when there's like more oxygen on Earth, there's like beetles that were like 4 feet long, or like the centipedes or whatever. They're huge.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah, it was more oxygen, so they could support more mass because of, like, what is it, the square cube law or something?
Yeah, it's like they can support bigger surface area. I don't know. It's terrifying though.
Megafauna.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dennis, what does Mike say?
He says, I activate my mind task ability, in which my brain grows and allows me to get things done, i.e. cleaning, laundry, bills, and of course, rock hard abs, by just thinking about them. That way I can spend more time enjoying the fun aspects of life, family, friends, etc., without letting stuff fall behind.
Yeah, the abs are important for that.
I feel like that's one of these things is not like the other situation. Cleaning, yep, laundry, yep, bills, yep, yeah. Rock hard abs.
You know, just...
you gotta have that abomantium.
Yeah, maybe just daddy gets a little something, you know.
It feels out of the what's that dad dating simulator that's popular right now?
Daddy dating simulator.
No, there you go. Yeah.
Ben, what does Michael say?
Mike says, Michael says, since I spend too much time and energy time around technology, I imagine my evolution would turn me into some kind of biochemical hybrid. At last, I could speak the machine language and build all kinds of fantastical science.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You try to step away from your computer and you realize that your hand has fused to your mouse.
Oh, now we're into, like, Japanese cyberpunk territory.
Man. Yeah, yeah. With the body horror stuff, like, this is straight up Videodrome. Yeah. David, what does Lindsay say?
Lindsay said, I would evolve into a nice person with a cool beard. And for my last week's statement, Game Informer magazine still comes monthly. Sorry for throwing you off.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That makes some kind of sense because GameStop still props them up. Yeah.
That's funny.
Sensible. Involved with doing a nice person with a cool beard. Yeah. Franz writes, I get a baby daughter perched on my left arm and the ability to do everything one-handed. My beard gets scruffier and slightly gray. you're literally just describing what happened to you in real life.
I would refer to the baby daughter as a daemon, I believe. It's a familiar. Yeah, familiar at that level.
Yeah. Let's see, Dennis, what does James say?
James says, I want to be one of those awkward evolutions where it starts cute and gets terrifying.
Oh, jeez.
I will go from normal type to a poison type and basically turn inside out and shoot bile from any angle. This is the ultimate human evolution.
Yeah, you basically want to be a victim of Parasite Eve.
Yeah.
To be fair, Fortnite proves that can still be adorable.
Yeah, he basically stole my answer.
Cronenberg yourself?
Yep. We really Cronenberg this whole world up, didn't we, Morty? Let's see, Ben, what does Graham say?
Graham says, I think one evolution wouldn't change me too much. I get a bit more buff, and you'd see me wearing sport jackets more often than not. somewhere down my evolutionary tree, I would turn into a weird Final Fantasy god character, like the Emperor Palamecia. And then further down the line, I turn into a giant space atrocity.
The Final Fantasy arc right there.
You would turn into a Digimon is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I had to look up. Oh, the Emperor Palamecia is the main villain of Final Fantasy II. There we go. Let's see. David, what does Jonathan say?
Jonathan says, I'd only want two things. Be half an inch taller to make 6 feet and feel like my body isn't falling apart when I go for a run. Small things.
Yeah.
Just run more.
Oh, that's not what anybody wants to hear.
Yeah. You should, John, you should do what I do about the 6 feet thing and just lie. I'm 5'11. I'm 6 feet.
That or platform shoes.
Yeah. Vertical stripes. No. Tim writes, I can't see this going any different direction than the Abomination character from the Incredible Hulk movie with Edward Norton. Every part of us would get bigger, vainier, and our temperaments would be heightened in terms of aggression. Surely the human race would explode in a melee akin to the Ragnarok. Could be fun. Would be
so
fun.
So basically the picture of Pikachu from this prompt.
Oh, just vainier and vainier.
Yeah.
Dennis, what does Juan say?
Juan says, I'd pretty much just stay the same, but my eyes would go full on Snorlax woken from its slumber rage mode. An upgrade from my current sleepless, big, having dead inside eyes. Oh, man. And my ability to bore people with tangents and long stories would move from a yawn type effect where it takes a turn for someone to fall asleep into instant hypnosis. I open my mouth and boom, snores. To quote,
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Thank you. Wow.
I Googled it. I was right there. I was right there for the alley loop.
For me. Yes. You're wearing some kind of superhero outfit right now, Cole. My life just isn't that interesting, and my evolution would reflect that.
Yep. Ben, I mean, I don't have any comment on that. That's just funny. I like the sleep powers. Sleep type Pokemon are cool. Also, I don't think sleep is a type. It's been a while since I played one.
I'll tell you, if you got kids, the power to put things to sleep is invaluable.
Yeah. I believe it. Ben, what does Javier say?
Javier says, I have an afro, so basically keep that, just make it bigger and fluffier. Also, +5 to attack.
Really min-maxing there. Yeah. So he wants to be afro.
A little rider.
Yeah. See, when I hear this, I just can't help think, did any of you catch on Toonami as a kid, bo 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 bo?
What?
I just linked part of it in the Slack, but it's basically a anime that is making kind of a parody of Dragon Ball Z. So the main character just has this like giant golden afro.
Yeah, it looks like something out of WarioWare.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's basically if you took like the non sequitur humor from Family Guy, but just like actually went with it.
Hmm.
So like, you know, you're fighting the
just really committed to it in a way that Family Guy never does.
Right.
Right. Well, it's like, you know, you're fighting like the horrible, galactic villain, and you know, try to trick him by, you know, pretending this is, you know, an office. But now the entire rest of the episode is an office drama. So we're seeing, I don't know, sorry, my random thing. Afro Samurai is probably more worth your time.
I've never, I've seen that. I've not seen bo. Huh. David, what does Thomas say?
Thomas says that I need to stop navigating away from the page.
That would help.
So Thomas says, maybe for my transport, for your transport. Wow. This is not my week. For my transformation, I might finally turn into an adult after putting it off for 5 years. This would improve my time and budget management exponentially, and perhaps my new name would simply be Tom.
God,
I feel like
David,
after I like butchered that up, we are fairly clearly seeing that this is the transformation I also need.
Thomas, use pay bills. It's not very effective. I'm sure you're fine.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man. Yeah, that is, you know, growing up and eventually getting old as fuck and having your bones break and stuff is kind of an evolution.
Like, now that I've read it, I can't think of any other answer than that. It's so perfect. But that got me good.
It's back pain.
Let's see. Nathan says, I evolve into my cocoon form, Snargalarg. At level 60, I emerge as Bromble, which looks the same as I do now, but with racing stripes.
Ooh.
My abilities don't change much. Maybe I learn a Thunder Wave.
But to be fair, the racing stripes make you go faster. That's just science.
Yeah. No, I think that's a sound investment.
Yeah. Just kind of like the... who was it? The vertical stripes, you know, they'll make Jonathan, grow faster, right?
Yeah.
That's what people wear them, right?
Fun fact is I tend to sleep. I just habitually like just wrap myself up in the covers. And so I from here on out, I'm going to refer to that as going into my cocoon form.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
I'm sure that will make, you know, Jen less likely to kill you over it.
Yeah. Yeah, there are some cover wars that happen.
You know, it's, people weren't meant to sleep together.
Be fair. I want you to know I would totally be betting on Jen.
Oh, she's got the fire. Like, I have like no doubt.
No, I'm under no illusions on that one.
Sorry, man. You don't stand a chance. Dennis, what does Jonathan say?
Jonathan says, maybe a beard on wizard level. Telekinesis would be useful.
Yeah, telekinesis would be baller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nothing more to say than that. And Ben, round us out with Ben. I'm not Ben. Doing this on purpose, I swear to God.
Ben says, evolve wings so I could HM2 the fuck out of here and never have to deal with other people again.
Later. Oh, man. I wish we could figure out how to write out.
Yeah.
Because that would be every title from this point forward.
I mean, can't you just ask, like, I don't know, Alexa or something? Doesn't that do, like, text to or speech to text or something?
We don't say her name.
If you say her name 3 times, you know she's summoned from a portal from Amazon.
Oh no,
she ordered a bunch of questions.
She ordered motor oil. No. it's fun to open up the app for the lady in the tube and see what she heard, though. It's fun.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah. So this is my answer was snaked by James, who said that you would be one of the awkward ones. That was going to be my joke, that I get slightly bigger and uglier. So I will add on that and do something nobody has done, which is metal plates.
Where?
Dealer's choice.
Right.
And not even like, you know, I'm not talking about like a full on metal skin. I don't want to be like Dural from Virtua Fighter. No, there'd just be some metal plates.
Just plates, like bolted on.
Oh, just as part of me. Just kind of growing.
Just okay. Hey Cole, you coming? Yeah, let me just grab my plates.
Ding ding ding. Yeah. Dennis, how about you? What's your Evo?
Yeah, people had more extreme forms of this. I just want to gain an extra hour per day. I just put a little pocket dimension where I can spend it at will.
Yeah, so be like a psychic type. You want to take on a psychic aspect.
Yeah, so I don't want a day to be 25 hours. I just want an hour to myself that I can, that like, so day is still 24 hours, but I can kind of like dip out into this bonus hour.
Did Harry Potter book 3 teach us nothing?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I believe that this is every parent's dream, by the way.
Yeah.
Parents? Fuck that.
It's every person's dream.
Oh, for real.
So question though, will that, like, do you live longer because of this, or do you die earlier?
No. That was going to be my stipulation, is I don't age, I don't get more tired.
Okay.
For that extra time. So.
I don't know. I think that feels like wishing for more wishes.
Yeah. I feel like don't, I think they already have that superpower. They just call it cocaine.
All right, fine. Then I take Greg's power of being able to sleep in 8 minutes instead of 8 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do not call that cocaine.
Well, they call that nootropics, and you can buy them from Infowars.com. Fighter jets use them. Ben, how about you? What's your Evo?
Similar sort of answer as Ollie's, where I would just like, kind of more time for myself. I would like to just be able to like slow down time and then just use that to like study stuff or whatever, or just work on whatever projects I want to work on. But somehow not age because of that as well. So
yeah.
Good luck figuring out how that works.
Don't know. And David, as the person who asked this question, I'm sure you have an answer.
Yeah, so I think I would evolve from Moneysmith into Daddy Warbucks. Which I don't know, I imagine would just be like the Monopoly Man, but with like a bazooka or something.
Okay. Oh, but it would have to be like integrated into your body.
Yeah, yeah. So like, so, think sort of like Mega Man, but with more 1%.
Right. Like a plutocratic Blastoise.
Yes. Yes.
So
exactly.
What would a money type Pokemon, what would his weakness be? Like fire and water, or
Capital gains tax?
Oh yeah. Forgot about that type.
Yep. Oh man, thank you everybody for writing in. If you want to participate in these, they're not all this silly, but sometimes it's nice to be silly. Go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast when those go up on Tuesday afternoons. I would recommend liking the page so you can see that when it goes through. Let's see, also a thanks to David for coming up with a question and Dennis for posting it.
The grind.
Now it is time for The Grind, where we talk about the games that we have been playing over the last period of time or so. We were all here last week. So over last week, Dennis, since you were champing at the bit earlier on, since you were mat champing at the bit, I'm going to start with you, presuming you're going to begin with Destiny 2.
Yeah, and I'll tag team this with David and not Ben, Mish?
Nope.
Okay, yeah. So I'll tag team Destiny 2 with David. It's more like Destiny 1.2.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
And I'm completely fine with that though. Like it is the magic of the Bungie games have always been just that they feel good to play.
Okay.
And that is wholly intact with Destiny 2. Plus they've done a ton of quality of life improvements over the first game. But damn it, guys, I'm like 10 hours into the game. I'm at level 12 out of 20 and I have yet to see a new enemy.
Oh, really?
Like, literally, yeah. It feels like even the same character models. Like I don't, maybe there's a new filter on them. I have no idea. But I recognize every single enemy we've faced so far verbatim in this game.
So one question, this is possibly a spoiler, but I know like the enemies were kind of mapped to what planet you were on before. Are you still going to the same planets, or do they somehow get around that? Okay.
In fact, no, new planets.
You At least so far, I've gone to 3 out of 4 of the locations, and so far, none of them except Earth are planets.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You get to a moon and a centaur.
So do they have a good explanation for like how these creatures are getting to these different places then, or?
No.
All right, cool.
Well, yeah. I mean, Grant, the
branding?
Honestly, the... The explanation, kind of the blank explanation, is Destiny takes place after like several hundred years of like humanity's golden age, where basically like humanity had, you know, almost complete control over the natural world, which is kind of the justification for like why. You know, what was in the previous game, like Venus had, you know, lush tropical forests, and all of the planets have the exact same gravity.
Okay.
So kind of that's the explanation.
All right.
That's kind of interesting. So I'm just trying to think about this. This is a tangent, but if you spun up a planet, how fast it spins, could you change gravity on it? Maybe. Is that, I don't know if that works. Do we have a physicist?
It's above my pay grade. I don't know.
You're the closest thing we've got. I think gravity is a direct consequence of mass.
Yeah. All right, whatever. So,
yeah. Let's talk about the game. If Superman 2 is to be believed, time would go faster.
That's true.
That's great. I mean, that complaint aside, that I have not seen anything new, it again, feels really good to play. Go ahead.
I do feel like it should be said, one thing that I feel like is significantly different, and I'm not sure is immediately obvious, is the actual gameplay. There's a lot more support for cinematic, you know, sequences within the game itself. So, you know, previously, if there's going to be any instance where like, you know, one of the supporting characters was going to like do something badass and like jump around and just do crazy things, that would happen in a cutscene, whereas now like that'll, you know, actually happen within the world as you're playing it.
Well, I guess okay. That's true.
That'll help with the storytelling as it was.
Yeah. That'll help make sure that I'm looking the wrong direction, because I have an uncanny ability to do that.
So yeah. that is one thing I do find kind of strange about this, is like it actually does a pretty good job of like kind of pseudo visual storytelling in terms of like, you know, doing, you know, set pieces where it's like, you know, oh, at this point where like we want to emphasize this event's happening, we'll like make sure you're, you know, have this amazing vista of it. The problem is there's no like press this button to look at what you should be looking at, like some games have.
It's a good feature.
Right. So there's definitely times where like, you know, someone will start being like, wow, look at that. And I'll start like spinning around trying to figure out what the hell it is.
Yeah. Well, that's regrettable. But it's also good that they're making it more dynamic, I suppose, bringing it in engine that seems preferable.
And I think making it more dynamic also applies to the going from mission to mission as well. Mm-hmm. Because whereas in Destiny 1, a lot of times it felt just like you were kind of racing through the world as fast as you can to get to a point of interest, playing that instance and then getting back out. The world feels a lot more alive and dense. And like an MMO where you can kind of wander around and find cool stuff to do. Mm. So it almost like my experience with the game has been a lot like Guild Wars 2, mm-hmm. where you're running from point A to point B, but then, oh, this cool quest pops up and, oh, a public event and all this stuff. So that is, you know, that's much appreciated. You don't have to spend any time in orbit with loading screens anymore. Like that feels really good.
Still does the kind of cool mechanic where it will dynamically, you know, populate people in into your world when you are in like you know, the public overworld. And then when you actually get to like the location of a mission, you know, effectively get to like the quote unquote dungeon, like there's no loading screen, stuff like that, but it'll just kind of subtly in the background, like phase people out of, you know, being in, you know, the shared game with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of the intelligent instancing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. So that idea of making the space in between active mission, you know, kind of zones interesting, that seems like something they're going to have to work really, really hard to maintain. Because if the arc of this is like any other persistent online game, eventually that is going to fall by the wayside as everybody just gets fixated on late game kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, eventually they're going to stop caring about the low to mid, the low to mid level experience in a way that is alienating because, well, everybody we care about is already, you know, just trying to maximize their gear.
Yeah. In in half a decade, we'll get Destiny Cataclysm.
yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
I don't doubt it for a minute.
Interested to see how that plays out, because I mean, it does seem like, you know, at least potentially they could maybe just, you know, keep fleshing out the existing worlds. And, you know, they did that some with the previous game. I mean, I think, I'm not sure, other than the Taken King on the Dreadnought, I'm not sure they actually added any new planets in any of the expansions, did they?
I don't remember, honestly, but I don't think so. The Taken King Dreadnought is the only thing that sticks out in my mind.
Right. I would say probably my biggest complaint, and then I feel like at some point we need to get to, there's a lot of cool stuff, and we're kind of getting the complaints out first, but I think my biggest complaint, honestly, is it seems like this is like a Bungie thing in that like they know how to do like big cinematic like sci-fi stuff, but I kind of feel like they don't always realize that like the smaller stories that they kind of like try to get out of as quickly as possible are actually the ones that are interesting. I guess what I'm saying, like, really both in Destiny 1 and at least so far in Destiny 2, by far the most interesting locale is Earth. And in both games, they basically very clearly are trying to get you off of Earth as quickly as they possibly can.
Yeah.
Like the tutorial level.
Not yeah. having an intuitive sense of what people are likely to care about seems to be a hallmark of that studio from the outside looking in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
So, and it's also, I feel like it's, that's like the first mission you have to get through in order to get to like multiplayer mode. Like the general arc of like what goes down, I feel like would not be spoilers.
It's early enough that I'd say save it.
Okay. Just, yeah, I guess I'd say like they have very early on a really interesting, you know, kind of pseudo twist, you know, in kind of how they set up the, you know, the new game world. And, you know,
maybe it's fair to say, because every video game does it, they find an excuse to like reset your powers,
right? And it's, you know, really well done. There's actually some pretty good you know, pathos in some of it, and then and like it could, that could be like an entire game, but it's, you know, within like 15 minutes to a half an hour, you're basically back.
Mm-hmm.
Back to where, like, back to where you were, or back to kind of a status quo?
Both.
Okay.
And I feel like that's kind of, you know, some of the issue is like, it just doesn't, I know
the conflict
to a certain degree, like you being an invincible super soldier, although kind of cool, is not actually that interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no conflicts if you're all powerful.
Right. So
didn't they do what was Halo ODST?
Yeah, so
I kind of toyed around with that.
Yeah.
And my understanding, you know, from what I've read is that, like, from a story standpoint, it was generally better because of that.
Yeah, ODST was the last Halo game that I played and really cared about.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I may just be a crank. I have no idea.
I do have to say, though, like, I still enjoy the, you know, the characterization of the Vanguard members are really good. What's his name? The hunter fellow, Cade, is... no, I'm sorry, Nathan Fillion.
Oh, they brought him back.
Yeah, I assume they brought him back. Yes, they did. Yeah. So, I mean, he's, you know, continues to, you know, not surprisingly, be just generally entertaining as him. Similarly, the guy that plays Commander Zavala is Lance Reddick, which is the police chief in The Wire.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And is really amazing.
Yeah. Oh, they've got some good stuff. They've got it's a regular reunion. They've got Gina Torres from Firefly.
Okay.
Bill Nighy is here. Yeah.
Yeah. So
they do a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like they do a good job of, you know, again, playing people off each other. I really hope, I don't know if Eris Morn makes it back, because she was by far my favorite character in the previous game. But I don't know.
Her name is Morn?
I believe that's right.
M-O-U-R-N-E?
M-O-R-N. And she's basically just like her backstory is basically she was like stranded in the headquarters or whatever, the home planet of like the Lovecraftian enemy faction for a decade, and you know, just is kind of has become like the resident Morgoth.
That would probably affect your outlook.
Yeah, it would, but it's you know, entertainingly done. Like one of my favorite instances of it is you know, they did a Halloween event and you go around to all the major characters and get candy, and she gives you a box of raisins. It's like that basically summarizes the character.
Fits.
That's okay. I've just realized that is the defining line on if something is an MMO or not, is if they have a holiday events.
There we go.
Yes.
Rocket League's an MMO.
Let's test it.
Yep.
Because you also have Calendar Man and Batman Arkham City.
Ooh.
Oh, damn. So maybe just good game. Well, I don't know. Yeah.
can we just call it like a Turing MMO?
Maybe.
Sure.
So you mentioned that there was like good stuff here. Like what is especially cool about sitting down and going back to this? What do they add from like a play standpoint?
And this is where I come up short. So David, maybe you have it, but like I don't know how to say it feels incredibly good to play other than
does it feel like better than the first one? Like if you just fired that up, would you get the same fix?
Yeah, probably. I just don't have the same people playing it. I like it, every time you pull the trigger or activate a power, it just has this gravitas. Everything looks and sounds and feels exactly like the power fantasy that you want it to be.
Okay.
And so that, I think that is what makes it fun to go back to for me.
Yeah. I think they do a lot better job with the world design this time around. To a significant degree, a lot of the locations in the original Destiny, unless they were on Earth or were the Lovecraft faction, mm-hmm. Tended to be just kind of generically sci-fi. Whereas, one of my favorite ones is, one of the locations is basically this giant water world. And you're basically like the entire world level is basically these like oil rig style like platforms and docks and stuff like that you're jumping along, and you know, some of them are like you know, are like you know, rising and lowering as like the, you know,
with the tide of the waves and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So like I think there's a lot better like actual world design, and I think the like graphics and, you know, some things like that are a lot improved.
There's probably something that they gain from not having to design it around PS3 and Xbox 360, yeah, like Destiny 1 was.
I actually think like there's kind of some snark that goes with that, but like
it came out at a weird time. Like they were right. still bridging those two things, and I'm positive by the time they got to whatever content packs didn't reach the older systems, like they had probably left a lot of that behind and started doing things that exceeded it. But like this seems to be a fresh start. Like there's really no need for a snark about it. It's just like, yeah, well, like here we go. This is modern times. Like we can do this.
I just mean I guess I'm a little bit I don't know. There was a lot of snark in the community when Destiny 1 came out about that. Some other things I do like, I feel like there's they have some really good weapon designs in terms of like you know, doing some you know, interesting layouts with you know, some of the gun models. Or like I'm currently using a bullpup pistol, which you know, is in a configuration you see real often.
Right.
So there's just some fun stuff like that. Similarly, I really like a lot of the armor because of, you know, various story things. A lot of the armor you're using is makeshift. And so, like, you know, in the previous game, literally everything was, like, you know, chrome and, like, samurai-style robes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, one of the early armors I got in this one, like, you're literally wearing hiking boots.
Okay.
You know, things like that is kind of fun. This is completely trivial, but extremely made my day, is one of my favorite parts of the original Destiny, for some reason, is I really liked the robots that they have like running around the hub area, you know, doing chores and basically keeping up the place. And it's kind of implied that they're sort of, you know, just from, you know, being around and stuff, like slowly gaining like some sentience and stuff. So they just have like weird dialogue and stuff.
Hmm.
And one of my favorite is you'll sometimes be near one and you'll hear it go, "Whistling protocol broken." And so you're basically, this is a little bit of a spoiler, but like at the beginning, basically running through a you know, war zone of the like previous public area.
Okay.
And you finally, like about halfway through, get to this, you know, quiet part where there's one of these robots sweeping and it starts whistling, except its whistle is like an entire like flute trill. It's just I just really enjoy that, just like completely obscure like callback to the previous game.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Has the progression changed at all?
A little bit. Basically the progression they added in season 2, that where your level is the average of the stats on all of the gear you're wearing. Basically in the previous game, you you know, leveled up to 20 and then kind of switched over to that system. Whereas in this game, you're pretty much just from the start in that system.
Okay.
And the leveling up is simply towards unlocking skill points.
Okay, so it is not the same as launch, but it is similar to what they changed it to midstream.
Right, exactly.
Did they add new classes, new kind of options for play?
Not really. The classes are the same, and you have you basically have access to kind of reimaginings of the three subclasses for each class.
Okay.
Is that, would you agree with that, Dennis? I actually haven't bothered to unlock more than the first one, just because I happened to start out with the one I wanted to play.
Yeah, I kind of followed the same arc, but you're not wrong.
Yeah. They did add, they did change up, each of the classes now has a special mechanic. So, like, hunters get a dodge ability, warlocks get, like, a team support spell they can do, and I have no idea what titans get.
The titans get, like, shield barriers.
Okay. And so that's something that's new.
So I mean, it's all, I think the newness is all incremental. It's just more of a thing that people that was really good to start with.
And the other thing I think is, like, this may not be like the way it's supposed to work or whatever, quote unquote, but I think to a significant degree this is kind of them a little bit doing a mulligan. In terms of, you know, they've now kind of figured out how to tell the story, and they're, you know, not shackled to the previous generation systems and, you know, things like that. I'm hoping that what this is them kind of setting up to, you know, not have to do another reset and stuff like that and be able to be more iterative in the future.
Yeah.
Hmm. Nice. Well, any final thoughts on Destiny 2 for now?
You should definitely play Destiny 2 or Warframe.
or whatever you're playing right now. It's all good.
Dennis, Destiny 2 or XCOM 2?
XCOM 2 still. I have been playing more War of the Chosen.
Yeah, let's slip to that, because I'm curious to hear about your travails.
I don't have a ton new to say. The game is ramping up difficulty very nicely, and it is peppering me with new game modes that, you kind of hear about the major mechanical changes that are coming with the expansion, but I hopped into a mission, and it's like, hey, you're in a race now with the enemy to kind of tag these caches for pickup, and that's not something that was in the original game. So it's nice to kind of be stumbling into all these new game modes that I haven't encountered yet.
They had a go-kart race halfway through the game.
Yeah. But the other thing, I don't know if I talked about it the first time, is that there is a weekly kind of challenge, or excuse me, a daily challenge mode, where each day you're spawned in with a unique set of soldiers and a unique objective.
Yeah,
and everyone gets one try at the same thing. I think I did mention
it. Yeah, you talked about this last time. It sounds pretty cool to me, actually.
Yeah, it's a great idea. But each of these missions is really equivalent to a full in-game mission, which leads to me, like, it's like I could spend time doing this, or I could do an extra mission on my Iron Man campaign. And it's really hard for me to choose, to given the limited amount of time I have, to choose to go to this, you know, once a day thing that I isn't going to give me any tangible rewards outside of just the number of times I've completed it going up.
Yeah.
So that's, I'm kind of souring on it a little bit, especially because the objectives have I've tried it four or five times, and it's been like one of two objective types. You either got to get a VIP out or reach a hacking station.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, once I've done that, I've done it 1,000 times. I'd rather, you know, do this in the context of the larger game, the larger campaign I'm playing versus isolated. So, it's nice to see your name on a scoreboard next to the rest of the world, but that's not enough for me to divert a full, you know, half hour to this mode. Mm. Otherwise, I continue to be just very impressed at the balance changes. I have, you know, gotten into more situations where I'm sitting there going, how do I get out of this? How do I get out of this? And it feels like I'm like, you know, surviving by the skin of my teeth. And it, you know, compared to the first iteration of the game, XCOM 2, where I feel like I would make a mistake and get squad wiped. I'm now finding myself kind of sneaking through by the skin of my teeth in more situations. That could be them fudging the RNG on the back end and being like, all right, we'll do more of these roles where this should have killed him, but we'll leave him with one health. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, especially there was that Polygon article on all the ways that games kind of cheat to be more fun, essentially. I don't know how much of it is that versus how much of it is fair, quote unquote, balance changes versus me getting better at the game overall. But it remains incredibly intense every time I play. I am trying to do it, a let's play of it. So I'm uploading, the videos to YouTube as I go. I think I'm Green Laser 06.
You're one of YouTube. Them.
I'm out there. You can find me, if you have interest in watching that. Although I'm so sorry, guys, I'm putting very little effort into the production. But if anyone's interested in seeing me mutter to myself while trying to figure out what to do, that's out there. Yeah. That's me.
Cool. Well, David, how about you? What have you been playing besides Destiny 2? I imagine it begins with an F.
Yeah, so I've been doing a little bit of Fortnite. It's mostly just been...
Why are you doing this to yourself?
I don't know. No, the core problem is actually that the core game is solid, just the monetization is questionable, and I keep hoping that clearly they must see that they could, you know, fix the monetization in an afternoon. And I'm beginning to think maybe not.
Why would they fix something that might be getting them a lot of money? Like, the experience for you is not necessarily their metric for success.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I tend to think that in the long run, like, having a solid system, is in your best interest. I'd be interested.
Of course, but I mean, nobody thinks in the long term.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd be interested to see, like, I wish I could see what the numbers were for, like, Warframe versus, I don't know what would be an equivalent, honestly, maybe Clash of Clans or something.
Okay. Yeah, I've never played it, so I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have much to say about that. Still shooting mans and whatever.
Yeah.
I do want to do a call out to the conversation of like someone's transformation would just be like a person turned inside out.
Okay.
That's basically what the enemies are in Fortnite.
Oh, so you're just fighting Inside Out Boy.
Right. Except that, they're like depicted as basically like adorable little, Plants for Zombie, skeleton people that are wearing, their skin as a hoodie.
I love that Plants vs. Zombies has become its entire own, like, aesthetic.
Yep.
Yeah. Cartoons.
With a Z.
Is that all you've been playing, David?
Yep.
Okay. Ben, how about you?
Yeah, so it's mostly Rocket League and Magic this week, and I played a board game, so I might talk about that if that's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a cooperative board game called Dead of Winter, and it was one of the developers on it actually lives in Ohio, in like Northwest Ohio. It's like a friend of a friend, loosely. It's like a cooperative zombie game where everyone's like holed up in a base that they're trying to maintain, and then there's like six different buildings that you can go out and try and search through. And you like basically have an objective every round where you're trying to like stock up certain resources. And they have a betrayer mechanic in it where one person might be working against everybody and trying to hoard things for themselves.
Oh, nice.
And so they have like a vote out sort of system where if you suspect that somebody's a traitor, you can vote to exile them and everybody can either vote yes or no. In which case they'll have to like go and then scavenge on in the houses by themselves. So I don't know. It was an interesting game. I've only played it once. We played a cooperative version of it, but that had a lot of cool mechanics with it, as far as like, it's like a deck of cards that you shuffle, and that's what you're searching through a building for.
Okay.
So based on the building, that determines like the frequency of resources. So if you go to the police station, there's like a lot of guns there. If you go to a gas station, there's a lot of gas, that sort of thing.
They call it a meta cooperative psychological survival game.
You could call it that, I guess. Yeah. I'm just throwing a lot of words at it. Yeah.
I'm looking at it on Board Game Geek. I wanted to see pictures.
Yeah.
That sounds cool. Sounds like This War of Mine, crossed with Werewolf.
and crossed with zombies.
Right.
Yeah. One of the cool mechanics is they have like a lot of like flavor text in terms of like, on every person's turn, somebody draws a card, and it's kind of like random conditions. Like, if these conditions are met, then you read out this choice thing and you have to choose one of the two things. And what's nice about it is there's not like a morality system at all, that you are not punished for whatever you do. So it's like, there's a starving family outside of the house. Like, do you take them in or do you say no? And it's like, you just do one or the other and that's it. You know? It's pretty fun.
So does it encourage like role playing or?
You could if you wanted to. I don't think it was built around doing that, but
I could see success depending on making sure your head was in the game, what you were trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, so the one game that we played, it's the number of, you can have multiple betrayers or you can have no betrayers. So the game that we played had no betrayers in it. So we will probably play it again to try and see what that's like. There's basically like a morale meter of like how happy people are. And so anytime like you don't have enough food or somebody dies or something like that, it goes down. And if it ever drops to zero, the betrayer will probably win. So
does that represent like, okay, so is the entire colony just the people who are playing, or is there just like a bunch of NPCs, for lack of a better word?
Yeah. So the way you start off the game is each person has two different characters, and they're basically two different cards, and then depending upon the number of characters you control, that's how many like action die you get, and that's how many actions you can take per round. And so you can find new people, so it kind of it's variable how many people you have. Anytime you travel from like one point to another, you roll a 12-sided die, and you might, it one half chance nothing happens, like a 1/4 chance you might get a bite, or sorry, you might get a wound, just a wound.
It's extreme.
So you just get a wound. If you take 3 wounds, your character dies. So they're bad, but they're not too bad. Like a 1 in 6 chance you get a frostbite, and that like will progressively put a wound on you every round unless you treat it with medicine. And then there's a 1 in 12 chance that you get a bite. And this part is somewhat interesting. If you get a bite, your character immediately dies, and wherever they were traveling to, whatever people are there, the infection might spread to them. So the way it works is they roll a 12-sided. They have a choice. They can either roll a 12-sided die. If it's blank, they're fine. If it's anything else, they die, and then it goes to the next person. And so you basically have this thing. The option, though, is if you don't want to roll the die, you can immediately kill yourself, your character's self, and then the infection will stop. So you can do the you can do the noble thing if, say, the person was traveling back to the main base and you have like 20 people there or something
Right.
Or you can roll the dice. Yeah.
You choose to die, are you just sitting and watching for the rest of the game?
No. If you ever lose all your people, you just draw back up to 1. But it's just you're not able to do as much because it's however many characters you control, it's that plus 1 actions you can take per round. So
I was gonna say that would be very bad game design if the optimal strategy was sometimes I stop playing and having fun with everyone else and just sit in the corner.
If the optimal strategy was, oh, I'll see you later, guys.
Yeah.
they have like a lot of like really cool characters in the game. Like they have an action stunt dog, which is a dog that has a superhero cape on it for some reason. So each character that they have has a certain level of influence in the group. So the people who are like more charismatic will have like a higher number for their influence, and that dictates the pecking order. So the people with the lowest influence are the ones who die first. It's like the idea is that they're being the ones being pushed towards the zombies or whatever to be killed. But one of the characters is a mall Santa Claus, and it has a very low influence, and his special ability is he can just leave the compound, just go away and die, and the morale will increase by 1.
Oh, geez, that poor man.
Yeah, I know. Nobody apparently likes the mall Santa Claus. So, Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. I think we're going to play it again this week and hopefully get a Betrayer in there to see how that works. But those, if you're into cooperative games, that's definitely a cool one to try out.
It's called The Dead of Winter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I have one tiny new game that I started playing, but I only played like a little bit of it. It's Orwell. Have you guys heard of this game?
I read some like preview stuff about it. And by read, I mean I scrolled down an article and read the headers.
Okay.
It's like a first person kind of atmospheric game.
Yeah, it's like a article computer crawler type game. Like the idea is the start of the game, spoiler alert, a bomb goes off in a public area, and you are a person working at a company trying to uncover information about what happened and why.
Okay.
And so it's basically like, it's a game about like, okay, so I find this person, I'm going to try and dig up information on it. But it's like very kind of creepy where you're like looking at their live text conversation with somebody else, or you're like reading news articles about them and then like finding out like, oh, okay, this is their birth date. Oh, okay, this is like their relationship history with, you know, like this person or whatever. It's like very like personal details. And like the gameplay mechanics of it are like, if you find two conflicting details, trying to figure out which one's the correct one.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Like, so it's like, it's a very like weird game mechanic. Or it's, you know,
it sounds kind of similar to something like what was it? Black Bar, I think.
I thought of Papers, Please.
Yeah, yeah. Like, just it feels like it's, it sounds like at least the theming is of that vein.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty low pressure environment sort of game. Like, you're not, that's like the one difference that I can think of between that and Papers, Please. But yeah, thematically it is kind of similar. Yeah, but I've only played it for about a half an hour or so, so I'm not really too deep into it. It's just kind of a smaller game pickup on the side. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, check in with us on that next week if you're here.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Is that all?
Yep.
Yeah. I've been busy, but I don't know how much I have to say about any of the individual ones, so I can scoot. So I don't even know where to. Go ahead.
You saw a game that I was very interested in that you streamed.
Oh, right, The Evil Within.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll start with that. So. I started Hexcrank live streaming again, because cool. I stopped that for, you know, forever because of just a lot of things, but, you know, mostly down to laziness. I will not make excuses, just explanations.
The laziness of running so many podcasts.
Yeah. Right, right. Just a lot of distractions. But there are people who had stream games coming to them from Duckstream last year. So I wanted to start doing those. Not 1 year after. Brandon Goodrich was paid money and said, like, hey, can you play some Evil Within? And gave a very good piece of advice that I ignored, thinking, I know how to play these games. It's fine. That piece of advice was play it on casual because it's aesthetically interesting, but it's way too hard on normal. Boy, was Brandon right.
Hard was it?
It was so hard that so to give you like a sense of what normal is on this and kind of how they tuned the experience, your maximum ammo capacity is 10 bullets when you're unupgraded, like at the start, and you're picking up like one or two off of a corpse. So if you used more than one or two bullets to take this thing down, guess what? That's a net loss. It's even stingier. Like, it is.
Wait, so are you naked or?
No. You're just a dude. Like, you're a detective and you're responding to an emergency and you descend into a world of nightmares in the mind of a killer.
But, like, I can literally hold more than 10 bullets, like, in my hand.
I think this is just the game that Shinji Mikami wanted to make. it is the stingiest game in the genre that I think I've ever played on normal, to the point where, you know, don't be a fool like me and walk into this feeling macho. Like, casual feels like a well-balanced game to me, to the point where, like, my opening hours of this, like, I switched my difficulty down about halfway through the second session. My opening hours of this were really kind of tainted by just trial and error, you know, I'm looking forward to kind of getting out and getting above that. This is a game. It's made by Shinji Mikami, the developer who did Resident Evil, obviously, but specifically right now is, you know, most known for Resident Evil 4. You know, that like that was his big, massive, like, we're going to change not just survival horror games. We're going to actually, you know, affect every single shooter that it, you know, that has ever made. And this feels like a lot like he's trying to recapture that to a large extent, to the point where, you know, after you get out of the asylum, like, you are in what appears to be a European village, you know. It's a third person shooter. Your camera is super tight on your dude, and it is presented in this ultra widescreen kind of view. Like, they're very thick bars at the top and bottom of the screen, which, you know, gives the game this kind of claustrophobic view. You can take those off, but it caused my frame rate to just take a shit. So given
there are practical reasons for it as well.
Yeah, just less of the screen that they have to render. So I tried it for a little bit, but I started getting motion sick because of the choppiness. But you know, you're walking around shooting monsters. The enemy design is really, you know, cool. It's real fucked up. They're very aggressive. You're dealing with, you know, big surprise, you've got gigantic dudes with chainsaws chasing after you some of the time. And they add a couple of things, like they're flammable things in the environment that you can use to set up traps. When enemies are downed, you can use up a limited supply of matches to burn the body so they don't get back up and come after you. And that's another reason to play on casual. That happens less often. So you have less of a kind of an accumulating snowball. The opening hours of the game are very stealth-based, which I think is ill-advised. I understand wanting to give you that sense of, like, hey, you can die at any moment. Like, stealth and horror can work. I just think that he is more interested in making a shooter, like an action-based shooter horror game.
So it's you can die at any moment until I decide to take my knee out of your back, and then we'll get to the real game.
Right. So that's a little bit of a bummer. This is a game that's getting a sequel kind of immediately too. I think it's coming out in October of this year. Kind of surprised because I don't think it reviewed all that well, but people in the chat seem to say that it, you know, people are really into this game. Like, right now, having played like 1/8 of this, you know, I can say, like, oh, it's like a B minus for me at the moment. Like, okay. Yeah, you know, it's fine. I like the imagery. I like, you know, like it is upsetting to look at some of the stuff that happens in this. You know, and it's not just gore, although that is definitely, you know, apparent. This is a detective whose particular lot in life has him falling into big industrial containers of blood a lot.
Oh no. I hate it when that happens.
Oh man, just is the worst. Ruins your day. A bird shits blood on you. That bird is sick.
No, oh man,
that doesn't happen in the game. I just but it goes beyond that into like space fuckery and things like that, like House of Leaves style. Oh, this hallway is infinite now, and I will always show up for an infinite hallway.
Are there infinite number of doors that can slam in front of them though?
I don't know. It depends on if you shoot.
All right.
Yeah. I'm committed to it. Like, I'm gonna keep going back to it. Like, with any number of these things, you know, I want to try and stream at somewhat regular times. So I find myself wanting to play it, but like, oh, it's 2:00 on a Tuesday. It probably wouldn't be that good to stream it right now. But I'm curious as to where the story is going, and I'm curious, you know, as we get out of mandatory stealth and get into like, hey, stealth is a way to help you eliminate some of the, you know, the number of enemies before a big encounter, that seems to be more better suited to what they're trying to accomplish, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really excited just watching you play it because it looked like a Resident Evil 4 game, and that game is awesome. So
yeah, if you're there for RE4-ness, like, there's a lot of that. And I would say, like, this is a game that is almost always on sale too, especially now that the
second one's
gonna be coming out. Yeah, I would say watch for it. Like, I wouldn't discourage you from going to it, but like, definitely play it on casual and work your way up if you find that you're getting the bug, you know.
So I think I asked this on stream, but I can't remember the answer. Are there any like upgrade systems like similar to like Resident Evil, or any sort of briefcase type system? Or
yeah, there's an upgrade situation. I don't think there's a limited inventory aside from caps on your items, but you find like a general upgrade currency that you can take back to your hub zone, you know, safe haven area. Okay. And use that to, you know, kind of get not just gun upgrades, because, you know, you're not trading in one gun for a better version of that gun, at least so far. Like, I haven't seen that, but, you know, your gun type, like, oh, this is my pistol and I can improve its damage, or I can improve its reload speed, etc. Mm-hmm. But you can improve your character's capacity as well. Like, oh, can he sprint? How long can he sprint for? Or how much health does he have? Etc.
Okay.
You know, and you can either find those as pickups in the world, or, you know, as small little rewards off of dudes that you kill. Yeah.
Okay.
Very cool.
Any other questions about The Evil Within?
Don't think so.
Okay.
Are you going to stream it again this weekend? Sorry.
Yeah. Looking forward to. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So that'll be the day that this comes out for most people, right?
Yeah, probably. It's at twitch.tv/duckfeedtv. Mm-hmm. That way you'll get an alert, or follow me on Twitter. That is one of the non-joke ways that I post, is to announce those. Yeah, another thing I streamed is a game called Slime Rancher.
Oh, is that good?
Oh, hey.
I don't know yet. It's definitely charming. It is charming as fuck. I also wanted to start doing kind of chill out streams with stuff like this. I want to do some Stardew Valley and other games that are kind of like, have this casual, positive, like, hey, let's just play this on a Sunday afternoon and chill kind of vibe, you know, just because that sounds attractive to me right now. Slime Rancher, though, it is a first person game where you are on this alien planet and trying to harvest slime poop in order to get currency so you can capture, corral, and harvest slime poop from more slimes. They call them plorts, but they are the product of feeding the slimes the food that they will eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But you have the ability to set down like a couple of different pens here, and you can also like make silos or farms and things like that, and you have this world that you can go out and explore and find these different slimes occurring naturally, you know, and capture a handful of them. I don't think there's breeding per se, but you can evolve your slimes into hybrids by having them eat the plort of a different kind of slime.
I was gonna say, there's not breeding, there's ploughing, which is completely different.
right. That's the way that they make it fit within the fiction. You know, they don't want to show them fucking. there are benefits to hybridizing because of, like, each slime has a particular favorite food, and if you feed them the favorite food, then they will produce twice as much of their stuff for you. And there's a market, like, as you set this up. It feels a little bit like a clicker to me, honestly. Like, you're trying to set up some kind of economy for this, like, you know, and that's cool, because I want to, you know, I love the idea of having, you know, here is a pen of a particular kind of slime. They love eating carrots. Here is a plot of carrots. I am paying both to upgrade the carrot plot to grow them faster, and also paying to upgrade this pen so that the slimes can't get out. And boy, will they get out. They are restless little buddies. you know, so they can't get out, but also to, like, you know, auto feed them and harvest them. Like, you are setting this up to be somewhat autonomous, or at least easier to manage. So, like, in the 2-hour session that I did, I got over this initial hoop. If it was just that, it'd be a bit of a bummer. However, you are achieving a couple of small goals that I won't get into, to get these keys that will open up different areas of the island for different kinds of slimes that might be more dangerous. So there are boom slimes that'll blow up. There are, like, crystal slimes that, like, lay down spikes and things like that. And so you have to, like, manage and get them back and, you know, corral them effectively and, you know, sell their more valuable plorts while you are kind of like looking at these different biomes and stuff. And as you get more money, you can unlock new areas for your ranch to, you know, get access to kind of different facilities and things like that. So this has a little bit of the rhythm of like a survival game, but it is all focused around the slime economy. Super adorable. Like if you look at videos or watch, even just like look at images, it is incredibly colorful. It's incredibly chill when you play it. Like, yes, some of the slimes attack. Yes, there are these dark evil slimes that will come after you and you have to fling them into the ocean so they will stay dead.
It got dark.
Yeah, it does. But yeah, like, you know, who knows if it's if it will kind of wear out its welcome for me and when I will move on to something like Stardew. But right now, the economy side of this is scratching a particular itch.
Yeah, looking at this, I keep thinking of like how great would No Man's Sky be if they hooked this up to it and like that was the game that they released.
Yeah.
No Man's Slime.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's neat. I'm enjoying it. It's another one of those ones where like I played this on a Sunday afternoon and I don't want to go back to it if I'm not going to be on a stream. So like I'm looking forward to this next Sunday when I can set up another chill out with Duckfeed.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah. And I just want to hit these other two really quickly. The DLC for Resident Evil 7 is good, but it is very short. Okay. So I talked about one of them a while back, the one where you're trapped in the bedroom. I played the more recent ones, and by more recent, it came out like 6 months ago. Specifically, I'm referring to the banned footage tapes 21 and Daughters.
Okay.
Daughters, I think, is the one that like you're going to want to play if you're interested at all in the story. Both 21 and Bedroom are kind of all about this secondary character, and they are mechanically interesting, but Daughters is more akin to the demo, but it also, you know, explains what happened to this family in a pretty good way. That said, play it after you play the main game because it ruins the mystery.
Gotcha.
Oh, sure.
So you were, I think in Bedroom, there was like a unique mechanic in that game, right? Where you had to like leave everything in order whenever somebody comes back in the room, right?
Yeah. So you're trapped, and Marguerite, the mom of the family, she keeps on coming back into the room whenever she hears noise. And as you're solving puzzles, you're picking stuff up and moving things around. If a single thing is out of place, she will attack you, and you have three chances. So, like, you are doing increasingly more complicated things, and you have, like, first a minute, then 40 seconds, then 30 seconds to set everything right. Otherwise, you know, you lose a life.
Gotcha. So is there any mechanic like that in the other DLCs?
21 is entirely a blackjack game.
Okay.
But it's a blackjack game that is done by the sadistic son of the family. And if you lose, you know, it's kind of like set up in this Saw style situation. It's kind of neat though. Like I'm a little conflicted about giving up some of the mechanics, but the way that it limits the possibility space makes it a lot easier to understand and predict what is going to happen or what's going on. You know, so you know, it is not just basic strategy. It's like a combination of blackjack and poker. It's not just basic strategy to determine like what the other person's actual number is based on what numbers are showing and what ones are hidden. Like you can use deduction to figure out what is most likely to win and lose.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And Daughters is more of like a narrative, style thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then I played two rounds of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. And
yeah, I've been waiting for this one.
I don't know. Like, I don't really have a story. Like, it is like any other PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds story. Hearing it would be like hearing somebody describe their dream, a dream they had. Yeah, it's fun. I really enjoyed. Like in one of them, I landed really, really far away from what the play area ultimately would have been. I hope thinking like, oh, there's a military base. Let me go over there. And then the zone was entirely on the other island. So like my search for a gun was derailed by me all of a sudden, like searching for a buggy so I could just get there as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And did that work?
Yes, it did. But I was in too much of a hurry and I took a direct route and somebody was waiting for me.
That's, I was about to ask is, can you articulate what you learned from each of the sessions? Because
yeah,
that was the big thing that got me, is like every time I died, I could take a lesson away from it.
Yeah, my first one was real good. Like, I actually got a kill on it because, you know, somebody, I noticed that somebody was following me as I was going into a house, and then I snuck around and then got behind him. Like, I walked outside and then back in the door that he came in. So like that was actually a pretty good experience. Like, I'll chalk that up to beginner's luck. And the second one is just like, yeah, if you're in a hurry, you know, like, this is a buggy, you know, you're not riding like some kind of weird shitty bicycle. You can go off road and try not to be predictable, because people are going to be camping, especially if they're near the, you know, the border. So,
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So it's cool. I have no idea how much time there is in my life for a persistent game like this. But it's fun. I can see what the appeal is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's all. Like I said, I've been busy.
You had four games, and that's it?
I know, right?
That's impressive.
Cool.
It's not often you have the highest number.
I know, right? Usually I'm kind of dwindling down here. Like, I don't know. I'm really ahead on Watch Out for Fireball stuff. Like, this is the getting rid of Bonfireside Chat kind of bearing some dividends for other shows. So yeah.
Nice.
Cool. Well, we've been going for a very long time, so I might ask if we can button it up.
It's button, baby.
Cool. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in and listening to this. We really appreciate it. If you want to help out the show, you know the usual things you can do. Patreon.com/DuckFeedTV. Additionally, you have ratings and reviews on iTunes, or liking us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheLevelPodcast. Going to repeat again that I'm going to be at the Portland Retro Games Expo on October the, 21st and 22nd of this year in Portland, Oregon. We're going to be doing a live show and have a booth set up all about WarioWare for Watch Out for Fireballs.
All right.
It's going to be a good time. We will have meetup announcements ready to make sometime soon. Other than that, well, we'll talk about our Twitch stuff and things like that toward the end. But, you know, I'm doing that again now, and that's fun. I'm really happy the audience was still there. It was like good old times. Otherwise, I think it's time to end. I am Cole Ross. You can watch my streams at DuckFeedTV on Twitch.
I've been Dennis Furia. You can watch my streams at GreenLaser73 on Twitch. I'm also trying to use Twitter to tell people when I'm streaming, so there's that.
Yeah.
I'm DFuria on Twitter.
You don't get to.
Nothing you can do will get through.
I'm David Mysmith, and you can occasionally watch me on Dennis's streams.
Ooh. Oh, that's the one thing we didn't really mention is David and I agreed we would keep one character in Destiny only co-op with each other. Hmm. And that way you never have to worry about being at the right level or being in the same place or any of that stuff. You can just kind of always just jump in and know that you've got something to do together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So far, it's gone well.
Yeah.
Ben?
Ben Merkel at Merkelby on Twitch.
Cool. And stick around for some titles. Okay, what do you got?
I still maintain that the only correct title can be Welcome to the Palindrome.
It's a pretty good one. I don't have that, but it is good. Did you have any others?
No.
Oh, you said only. Okay. Dennis?
I've got Tattoo Seed. That's from very early on.
Okay.
Pika Bane. And No Man's Slime.
Yeah. Ben?
I got Game, and then inspired by Welcome to the Palindrome, what about Four Go In, All Go Out?
Okay. And then I just have Vertical Stripes.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I like Welcome to the Palindrome.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do it. Awesome. Cool. I think I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this is exciting. I'm gonna go to bed, but then I'm going to try playing Destiny 2 from my Vita. So see how that goes.
Yeah, hopefully that works out.
Fingers crossed.
Good night, y'all.
Take care, everybody. Bye.
Night. Thanks, guys.